wanna be down with the kids.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. John and Lance along with RJ here with you. And man, oh man, oh man. I'm going to tell you what. I wouldn't be surprised at all. And it's not just recency bias here. But what Jose Siri can do for a baseball team with his legs, with his glove, with his speed, with his bat, with his emotions, he is a guy who really brings a lot to the table. The other night in Anaheim, when the grounded to third, throw over to first, and he scores on the play.
Yeah,
Walsh threw it way over the catcher's head and had no chance to get him. But it's that kind of thing. Name another guy on the Astros can do that.
No, I think there's going to be some. I think there's some pluses and minuses about that. Like, he is a more volatile player.
Oh, yeah.
So there are going to be some times where the emotion over 162-game schedule, when things are going bad for him or when it's rough, you know, you might worry about how he'll handle a tough streak, because part of baseball is having the mentality to be consistent through the highs and lows. His play early in the game where he ranged from center field over what looked like a surefire base hit and run scored, it was in the first inning, where he ranged and pulled that that ball that looked like it was a surefire gapper, because mm-hmm. Michael Brantley wasn't going to get there.
No.
I was like, whoa, Siri was rolling on that one. And, of course, then in the fifth, he had his home run in the fifth. And then Michael Brantley with the game tying, Siri with a base knock to get on base. You had Michael Brantley with the game-winning, it ended up being the game-winning base hit. But there's a lot to get to on this one. I think Siri obviously had three different plays that were key in the win, obviously. The defensive play, because Garcia was struggling in the first. I mean, he didn't make it to five. He had a ton of pitches and didn't make it to five, although he was saying stuff was pretty good. Everyone's stuff was pretty good. I mean, look, Abreu gave up the lone run. He's going to do that.
That's what Abreu
is going to always give up runs.
It's what he do.
Every single appearance he ever makes for the Astros, he's going to give up a run.
Yeah.
But how about the bullpen stepping up as well? Maton and Neris.
What did you just say? Neris?
Neris.
Why did you say it like that?
Because Neris is his name.
Hector Neris?
That's his name.
Hector Neris?
What do you say?
Neris? Churro? No. No. Do you say Chris Solis?
I say, no, because they've Americanized it Solis instead of Solis.
Okay.
It should be Solis.
Well, maybe Hector, Hector Neris.
He's definitely not Hector
Neris. You don't know.
Neris. There's been, okay, then you can start saying Minerva Perez.
Minerva Perez.
Okay, she says that way, me too.
That's what she does.
Yeah, that's right. So Hector Neris.
You know, yeah, Garcia didn't have his best stuff, but he
wasn't locating great. I thought the stuff was okay. He just wasn't hitting spots. Well,
yeah,
in the first
he actually only lasted four innings. He wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to get it. He threw 71 pitches, but it's the start of the season. They had very little spring training. You know, he didn't strike guys out. Two walks and a strikeout.
The first was the one where he really had.
Yeah.
It was, he really struggled with getting to full counts and walking guys. And that was the real grinder. And that automatically meant he was going to have a shorter appearance. Bullpen did their job. They kept it where it was supposed to be, and then eventually the Astros will clutch hit you. That's the way it works.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to score on the Astros bullpen, or you're going to get in trouble late in the game. There's too many clutch guys on this. I mean, literally, they have to have enormous jock straps for the Astros every single season because of the balls on this team.
Yeah, they really do. I just don't get bringing Abreu back for the sixth. You know, I just don't. I don't know. If you got an inning out of him, just say thank you and leave him in there. Bring him back out. You know, the second hitter, Walker, goes deep on him. And it's just like, it's so obvious that that's going to happen. Why you think you're going to get like six straight outs, I don't know. But it seems like every reliever, you bring him back for another inning, unless he's a long, unless he's, you know, a proven long reliever, it just comes back to bite you. But Siri, once again, I mean, he homers, he doubles, he scores on a, you know, and you know he's going to score. Uncle Mike comes up with a huge hit, and you know that dude is scoring. He's going to do everything he can, flying around and sliding in and getting in head first. Yeah, I really, really think that, you know, Jake Meyer's getting hurt. You hate to see it that, you know, you lose your job that way. And Chaz McCormick has been good, and he's a nice utility.
A baseball player.
He's a nice guy.
Play.
But I tell you what, Siri brings so much to the table. If it was me, I would just say, I gotta see what this guy can do day in and day out.
Well, you're gonna get to see it for the most part. I mean, I don't know about day in, day out, but he's gonna get a lot of opportunities. When Jake Meyers comes back, you've already got to
split time with him and McCormick right now.
I know,
now.
But you are kind of reacting to just this game.
No, I'm not. I know he's not. I've seen him last year. I saw him in Anaheim.
Who have you seen more, him or Jake Meyers?
Well, I have seen Jake Meyers.
Jake's pretty good.
Jake's pretty
good. You
like
Jake plenty good last year.
I understand. Jake doesn't have...
You just haven't seen him for a while.
The skill set that he has either. Let's not forget.
Jake is fast, dude.
Jake is fast,
can defend. I don't know. I think we just haven't seen Jake for... Honestly, I thought Jake Meyers and Siri are the two more than McCormick. That I like personally.
For whatever, they like McCormick too. And listen, McCormick has done a nice job. All I'm saying is that you got a guy that can open up a game at any time. And it's not just recent. Again, it's not recency bias. We've seen Siri doing this Siri stuff like this. And oh, by the way, when he hit that off of Bumgarner, I thought, Siri, don't Cadillac it too much.
I know.
Don't Cadillac it too much.
Because he'll come. Because the next one's going to be thrown into the dugout at you.
He really will. Bumgarner.
Be careful.
Who was it? I think it was Todd. It's Callis that said, now these are two complete opposite guys now.
No.
Okay.
Bumgarner's the holdover from the this is the way baseball is played
yes.
era. And he's about 6'4 and about 230, so be careful.
Just watch out with Batflip. Just watch out with Batflip. He absolutely wanted to, and when he hit that, he knew it, and man, did he hit a shot. 110 miles an hour off the bat.
That's some exit velo. I didn't hear what the velo
was. Yeah, 110.
That's a shot.
Yeah, so he...
it's weird because he's older than you think. That's what feels... You know, if he were 21, this brash 21-year-old, I think it would feel totally different. Like, yeah, plug and play and good night. You know, no one else gets to start. But because Siri is 26 years old and turns 27 this summer, you know, he's Carlos Correa's age. It's just a...
Yeah,
it's just a little unusual you can't help, at least for me, I can't help but think, well, this guy's been around baseball for a long time, and we do know from kind of getting into his background last year, he was a one-year wonder last year. I mean, he came out of nowhere last year. Now, maybe it all flipped for him, but you just want to make sure he's a sustainable talent and not a guy who is a flash player who's going to have, you know, spectacular highs, but more sustained lows. You want to make sure that's not who he is at age 26.
Yeah, no. But that's a nice win. Hey, listen, you know Stromy's going to have a Bumgarner back, right? I mean, you faced a Bumgarner last night that you're like, oh, dude, looks like he.
Yeah,
used to,
I mean,
when you get him with Stromy,
you could hear too in the voice when Todd Callis and Jeff Blum were talking about it. It was weird seeing. Or it's great seeing Stromy come to a park and you see Stromy, but he's on the other side and it stinks, but you're glad to see him around baseball. I mean, it still rubs me the wrong way that Brent Strom wanted to keep coaching baseball and he's not an Astro. That just bothers me because he was more than any coach that I have ever seen in Houston sports. This guy got the love from fans and media alike, and really, I felt like he deserved it based on what he did with pitchers. I mean, he helped tighten up Justin Verlander. He made Gerrit Cole so much money, turned him into the most dominant pitcher in baseball when he finished second in the Cy Young Awards. I mean, he got Fromber to a special place where Fromber is right now. The jobs at taking Phil Maton, taking any number of pitchers, I would throw Mike Fiers in there. Honestly, you know, the guy that threw a no-hitter for you under the direction and tutelage of
why are you putting Fiers on Stromy?
Well, I mean, I'm trying to think of everyone who came from a different place. They all got better with the Astros.
Yeah.
Everyone who came from a different place.
Stromy don't want no part of that rat.
No, probably not. But sorry, you made him better. I mean, guy had two no-hitters after he was with you.
Yeah, well,
that's
the
truth. No, the guy had two no-hitters after he was with
Trump. No, everybody's better with Strom. I mean,
he is.
Listen, your bologna sandwich is better with Stromy around. Everything is better.
There was a chance you were become the most dominant pitching staff in the history of baseball. You had to get rid of them, just to be fair.
I don't know that they were being
fair. That's all I can think of.
I'm not sure that it's being fair.
All I can think of is you had to be fair about it. So yeah. Get rid of them.
713-780-3776. What did you think of Siri last night? You're more than welcome to get in here. And what do you think about the center field position? I mean, I think, it's early. Obviously, we're five games into a season. But there are some things that are showing up. A tough night offensively for everybody except Siri and Uncle Mike. But other than that, I mean, I think we found out that you got a guy that can play short and he can hit. I think you're finding out that you got a guy who is going to give you some runs that you wouldn't ordinarily have in Siri. And of course, you got the steady guys, all of your steady guys. It sure would be nice for Altuve to start hitting a little bit. That would be nice. Uncle Mike with a 3-hit night. Alex Bregman with another hit. Yuli, you gave Yordan the night off against Bumgarner. That's a smart thing to do. And I think, you know, the other day we were talking about Bregman. But, you know, that was, I think they gave him the night off against Syndergaard. And I really can't blame him. You know what? You're hitting well. And you know what? You don't want to face Syndergaard early on and screw up your swing.
I'm always going to feel weird about that. That you like, that's
a lot of guys don't want to face guys that are going to mess up their swing.
It feels like in the most competitive, one of the most competitive sports out there, it feels like a non-competitive move. So I always struggle with that one where you just, I get the mental side of it. It just feels like a non-compete thing where you say, you know what? I don't want to face the toughest. Okay. I mean, you're one of the highest paid players on the team. You should 100% face their highest paid.
Well, I don't think he didn't tell them that. He obviously.
No, I know. But that's what feels weird about taking one of your highest paid guys out against one of their highest paid guys because it's too hard. Like, that's just something that always. And it's not just a Bregman. It's not that. It's a baseball thing. For some reason, there are certain times where if somebody's facing Randy Johnson, that's how far back it goes. You didn't want to, I'm just not going to have him face Randy Johnson. And you know there are players who probably begged out of certain matchups in their life because they know that they don't do well against guys. It just feels like, it's just one of those unwritten rules where you're supposed to get out of tough matchups. I don't know. Baseball's got so many unwritten rules. I guess maybe you're supposed to beg out of hard matchups against good pitchers. That feels like a basketball thing.
If you really, really don't like facing that guy?
I guess.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's weird. It's
if you know, I ain't getting no hits tonight.
You don't play, but not playing is the cool thing. But I feel like playing against the best used to be the cool thing.
Well, yeah.
Like trying to beat the best be the best. Man, it's just something Ric Flair used to say. I don't know.
I know a guy who knows Carlos really well. He said, and he asked him, who's the toughest? He goes, man, Lance Lynn. I just take. And you know this. And like in golf, you go to a certain course, you're like, I can't play well here. You know, it just doesn't set up well for me.
It turns into a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Absolutely.
It's in your head. Once it's in your head, you're like, I know. Like, I'll give you a perfect example. On hole 5 at Nottingham Farms.
No, this is not.
It's a straight shot, and yet I'm always yanking it right into the trees.
Some golf music when he talks about.
I yank it right into the trees. It's not even a hard hole. Even on the short course, when I play from the short tees, I will yank my disc into the trees on the right and get in trouble.
Hole 5 is a tough hole for you.
Hole 5 doesn't make any sense. Hole 5 should be easy. Yeah. You probably have one at Wildcat that you don't like.
No, I don't have any holes at Wildcat that I don't like.
There's not one that gives you
trouble? Now, 7 is a hard hole. 7's a hard hole on the lakes.
It's supposed to be hard, though.
It's supposed to be
hard. But you don't have one that's in your head?
It's kind of in my head, yeah. I mean, there's big enough landing area, although there's a big carry and then there's trees on the right. Yeah, it's hard. It's hard. It's the number one handicap.
What's five?
Is that the number one
handicap? No, 5's easy.
Chain?
That's the problem. It's in my head.
Oh, yeah.
5 is easy. It's straight ahead. It's not long at all. Now, let me ask you this. Is there a food or drink where you got sick, where you have mentally? For example, I had a Cuba Libre.
Liver.
When I was a freshman, liver. You got sick, though?
No, I hate it. It just smells terrible.
But it's not in your head.
It's in my head.
You just don't like it. Like, I had Cuba Libres when I was a freshman at Tulane and an all-you-could-drink. It went horribly wrong that day. And I can't smell the combination of Coke and rum together. God forbid you throw the lime in there.
Oh, I'm going to bring you one.
From that day, I threw up on a bologna sandwich when I was six. Never again the rest of my life.
No bologna sandwich?
No bologna sandwich the rest of my life after
really?
That.
Really?
And
You're missing out.
No bologna
fried
sandwich.
Fried bologna? You don't need
I've had Spam Wasabi at poke places.
Fried bologna?
Really good.
I'm going to bring you a fried bologna sandwich.
No, I don't want one.
All right.
Don't want one. I'll throw up.
I don't want to see this. It's 7:14.
I had a bologna sandwich that wasn't fried with mayonnaise. Never again for the rest of my life have I had that. And Cuba Libre.
Well, that was a problem. You
never
put mustard on a
the rest
bologna
of my
sandwich.
Life.
That was your problem.
I'm not having either one of those things. They're both in my head.
That's your problem. All right, when we come back, listen, there's some important stuff that went on in Major League Baseball yesterday. We're still seeing opening days.
Is bologna real?
And we're seeing something that never happened before.
Is bologna man-made? Like, is it like a...
It's from bologna.
It's real, or do they just put like a hot dog where they just... Get all the pig snouts and all that stuff and turn it into
a lot.
Is hot dog from Hot Dogonia?
No, it's yeah,
from
right.
the southern part of Italy.
No, it's not from Hot Dogonia. It's from it's made of a bunch of crap that falls on the
floor. But is bologna?
Yeah.
I don't want that.
7:15 ESPN 97.5. You guys want to talk on the show, so we're getting some calls, but we also got some other stuff, and including something that never happened before in Major League Baseball. We'll do that on the other side. You know what never happened in a hoop sporting goal? Rust. You know what doesn't happen? Rust. You know what happens all the time? Your kids want to play on it. You know what happens is the kids are outside in the driveway or the backyard, and they're playing because you can lower the goal, and that's what the kids love. The kids want to be able to play, Dad. They want to be able to reach the rim, Dad. You can lower the goal so that the kids can actually enjoy it, especially if you got little ones, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I mean, it's hard for those kids to reach the basket. They're not all that athletic either. You know what? Make them feel like they're big athletes. And you never know. They can put on their moves and do their dunks, and all of a sudden they grow, and now they got the moves. This is how Giannis became a superstar. Maybe your kid will too someday. All right? He was a guard, and now he's got guard skills. Your kid might have dunk skills, but you don't know because they can't dunk unless they've got a pro dunk hoop. All you got to do is go to produnkhoops.com. Best goal ever in the history of the world, and your kids will love it. Produnkhoops.com. That's produnkhoops.com.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real. Fun. Sports. Godfather of Houston Sports Radio, the preeminent NFL draft analyst, you found the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
History made in the big leagues last night, but before we do that, in two places history was made. Two places history was made last night in the big leagues. We'll talk about that, but first, Robert wants to talk about bologna. Let's get him in here. Hey, Robert.
Okay. Third grade, Boone Elementary School in A-Leaf. It was wall-to-wall vomit after I had a bologna sandwich, and I swore then I'd never touch bologna again. And tequila, I can't even smell it without getting dry heat. So, yep. LZ, I feel your pain.
Yeah.
John, we can't ride that bologna pony with you, man. Can't do it. Ain't going to do it.
You're missing out on life.
Can't do it.
I eat. I'm listen. I'm the thick beef bologna at Oscar Mayer. Thick beef bologna. I'll buy a giant package and I'll down that in a week. I'll fry it. I'll make sandwiches with cheese and mustard. What? Y'all are missing life. You don't know nothing about bologna.
I don't want to. I don't want to know anything about it. It makes me and Robert throw up.
Well, you and Robert have...
Maybe we're allergic to it, like that one girl is allergic to the peanuts.
Oh, wow.
From that
That's
one
a story.
Are you going to tell that?
I wasn't going to tell that story.
Okay. Well, I mean, sometimes people are allergic to things, or it makes them feel sick. You have it? Yeah, this is what
Can't
I think about bologna.
Can't do it.
Well, that's on you. You have weak constitutions.
Can't do it. No, it's a dirty, filthy meat.
Okay.
It's not a real meat.
It's not
a meal. It's not.
No,
it's
the
like,
real bologna
might as well be like tofu
from bologna has the white spots in it.
Yeah.
I think that's fat. That's fat.
And it's got flavor.
Big, and they cut it thinner.
What about Oscar Mayer?
We make ours. Oscar Mayer, we make that thicker.
Yeah. What about Oscar Mayer? Oscar Mayer's not real.
Oscar Mayer's real. What you talking about?
You think that's from bologna?
That's Americanized. That's Americanized bologna. Yeah.
You probably like you know what you
like? I like that, though.
You like American bologna on American cheese.
American cheese, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. American. Italian American.
On some white bread.
I'm Italian American.
Basic.
No.
Basic.
I like walnut bread because it's got.
I'd have more respect for you if you fried
peanuts,
it.
I don't
well,
think
you
she
fry
could
it.
Eat walnut
no,
bread.
No. No. You fry it, though, right? At least you fry it.
I fry it up.
Yeah, at least you fry it.
What?
You don't have to spray the pan either because all that fat from the bologna is going to do it yourself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I respect that. I just don't like the meat.
No.
It just makes me sick. There's nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to try it. Tequila, I'm good with. Me and you are different that way, Robert. Rum? Rum, it's still to the very back of my brain.
I want to see
like,
this, though.
Hey, whoa. It's like, you know, like when you know something's wrong, you hear something that's like, have you ever been somewhere where something happens, you can tell, like maybe two guys are starting to get into a fight or something. It's just something sounds off. Something's off. Or maybe you've been in a location where it was very tense. You could feel the tension. If I smell rum, immediately my brain goes, whoa.
Hold on a second.
It's a fight or flight for me. I'm like, whoa. It just don't put any Coke in that thing. Don't put any lime in that. We're going to be good. I don't want to go scrambling for a popcorn box. Let's just keep it 1 million and not go for the rum. I've had rum drinks since then, but every time, not a lot, and every time it's my brain, my medulla oblongata would just say, wait a minute now, hold on a second, be careful. And I'm like, I know, it's just going to be one. I'm trying to switch to something else.
All right, so.
You don't have any drinks
I don't have that. I've got a constitution, okay? I can eat whatever. So here's the deal. Last night in the major league, something
soggy
happened
fries?
That never happened before.
And so it's confirmed. This is the first time Ellis Sinakin has been coaching at first during a regular season game. Here's Belt, who's 2 for 2.
Which is historical, which means it's the first time that a woman has ever coached first base in a big league ball game.
Absolutely.
So nice going, Dak. She is a great trailblazer.
Who wears that helmet better than she does?
Nobody.
That helmet is now in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm just going to be honest with you. Every time.
Alyssa Nacken, the first ever female coach.
That's great. That's not the story here.
What's the story here?
The story here.
What does she look like?
No.
That's
not the story either.
Okay.
The story here
is
I can tell just by hearing that the play-by-play guy is a little older. And anytime you have a situation like that, I was sitting here listening, and all I could think of was, oh, God, what is he going to say? After Colonel Bob, I can't listen to older gentlemen call games and not think that when something arises that they could say, well, just can't believe in my days they were in the kitchen. Now they're at first base. Oh, no! When you started playing that, all I could think of was that he was going to say something that got him kicked out of baseball. That's all I could think of. You didn't think that when you're
Here's a strike, and there's a – you look at first base there, and I see a ponytail hanging out of there. I never thought we'd get to that place in baseball, but here we are, ponytail girl at first. Like, oh, no.
He's just kicked himself out of baseball.
No, he didn't.
That's what I thought you were setting us up for.
No, he did not get kicked out of baseball.
I once killed eight men.
Hey, well, you're not an ally. I'm an ally. I wanted people to know that for the first time ever, the San Francisco Giants put a female in the coaching box at first base. Her helmet is now in the Hall of Fame.
And an older announcer didn't make a comment that ended up getting him suspended from a team.
Well. That also
that we know of.
Well,
it could have been later in the game. He said that brought on first. You had made it through like five innings. You were doing so great.
What if Bob, Colonel Bob, was on the mic? Oh. For those of you who don't know who Colonel Bob is,
I'll do Colonel Bob during a break.
Okay.
I'll tell you what Colonel Bob would have said during a break.
On Twitch? You do it for the Twitch people.
No, I don't want to do it for any of those people.
Well, Colonel Bob said it, not
you.
I'm
not doing it for those people. They'll just capture it and try to get me in
trouble. Oh, they will. And they'll say, oh, this is what Lance is saying.
Yeah, so.
And Lance is dropping N-bombs all over the place.
Lance doesn't do that.
No, Lance ain't dropping
ever. Larry and Marsha raised Lance right. But I will say this. Colonel Bob, if you haven't heard, and usually that comes up the last hour. So a lot of people in the 7 o'clock hour have not heard.
Go look up Colonel Bob. What's his last name?
Sheridan.
Sheridan.
Bob Sheridan. He said something on a live broadcast where he admitted, like, well, I can't say the N-word now.
No, he says, I can't say it outside of the room.
Well, he said, I can't say that on the air.
I can't say it on the air. And now I guess I can't say it outside the room.
I guess I can't say it out of my own room. Like, whoa. And this is after he was going to call Paulie Malignina or whatever. He was going to call him a greasy Italian.
Or greaseball.
Or greaseball. He was in the middle of saying that, and he caught himself.
Right.
Because, you know, God forbid.
Don't think I've never been called that.
He caught himself. Then there's another video of him saying that he's killed 8 men before, and they tried to get him to stop talking. And he's like, what? I don't care. He goes, well, it's just short story here. The guys tried to carjack you, your Corvette, and then their car ended up in a ditch. He goes, yeah, and 8 of them died. 8 dead men in a ditch.
Killed
like,
8 of them.
Don't. Like, they're trying to make us think us. Yep, killed 8. I don't care. 8 of them dead.
Well, speaking
so
of an.
If that guy were on that broadcast, holy moly.
Speaking of an owner getting himself fired or saying something that where he'll have to sell the team, there are a couple of owners that are in some hot water today. And we will talk about it on the other. I mean, real hot water. On the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. But right now I'm talking about Doc Linville over at Linville Plastic Surgery. I mean, ladies out there, if you need any kind of plastic surgery, whatever it is. I mean, I had a buddy who did, whose wife had a butt implant thing, and it just went so terribly. And I asked Doc Linville about it, and he goes, oh, my goodness, what is he doing? Tell him to come, and I'll help him fix that thing. Because there are so many surgeons out there that it's really, really scary out there. So get with Doc Linville. He is unbelievable. He has been doing this for years and years and years. And he's also started getting guys with hair. I mean, this is such an unbelievable, wonderful process. It's so much different than the other one where they cut you and then they paste it on top and the blood and the pain and all of this, the nerves, all of this stuff. Doc Linville's process is spectacular. I did it. 8 months later, I got hair. I got hair right now. Looking good on Twitch right now, as a matter of fact. Check it out, Twitch. All you got to do is go to 975hair.com. 975hair.com. You want hair? You got hair. 975hair.com.
ESPN 97.5. You are listening to Houston's longest running sports radio morning show, The Bench with John Granato and Lance Zierlein on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So yesterday, opening day for a different team. We still haven't had our opening day. We're not going to get our opening day until April 18th.
Not for a while.
Yeah, so there's that. But the Reds had theirs. And, I mean, I kind of like this guy a little bit.
Do you?
Well,
he doesn't seem smart.
He's Phil Castellini. And boy, does he look like. Look
what
at
a shocker.
Look
you like him.
I mean, is that not Phil Castellini?
He's from the Castellanos?
No, it's Castellini.
Oh.
Yeah, it's different. They're probably related. But look at him. I mean, this guy looks like he's made. I'm not even joking. He looks
he's
like a made
man. He's got aviator glasses.
Oh, he's got the velour suit. He is, I'm telling you, he's a made man. And he's the president and COO. His dad has owned the team since 2006. And little Philly's taking over now, right? So little Philly goes on 700 WLW and was asked about, well, you know, hey, how did these fans, how do they maintain trust in the team's front office with how bad the Reds have been?
That's the bottom line.
Sloane asked you about the quote, show little faith in us, right?
Yeah.
And I saw you got raked to the coals. So you have people who say, look, faith is earned, 15 years of ownership. They haven't won to the extent that we would like. And so you had my faith, but you've lost it. Why should that fan maintain trust in you?
Well, where are you going to go? Let's start there. I mean, sell the team to who? I mean, well, that's the other thing. I mean, you want to have this debate? You know, if you want to look at what would you do with this team to have it be more profitable, make more money, compete more in the current economic system that this game exists, mm-hmm. it would be to pick it up and move it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And so be careful what you ask for. You know, I think we're doing the best we can do with the resources that we have. We're no more pleased with the results than the fans. I'm not sitting here saying anybody should be. I'm not polishing any trophies in the office right now, and that's what we're here to do. But, you know, the bottom line is, and I do think we've had to shift the discipline. We've tried a lot of things that didn't work, and they came this close to working and didn't. Nobody's got to tell me it didn't work.
You know what I mean? Yeah, I get it.
So I think we've learned from those things. And trust me, Nick is a guy on a mission. And he is a bull in a china shop that has his way to do it, and that way is to grow your own, and he's doing just that.
You've tried. The guy with the – yeah, you've tried. Yeah, I mean, we've tried in the past.
Yeah.
Which tells you, so we're not doing it anymore.
We're not trying no more.
We're not going to try that. Rich people struggle sometimes with common sense. Rich people have great business sense, but rich people, because make no mistake, if you own a baseball team, you're rich. Rich people really struggle sometimes with the diarrhea of the mouth. They really do.
Yeah.
And this is a great example of, he's already heard this stuff, so he's already had these discussions with other people. Where are they going to go? Paulie, where are they going to go? He's had these discussions, and now he took.
What are you going to do?
He took those discussions he's had in private and brought them to the radio.
Yeah.
Where are you going to go?
Yeah.
Oh, be careful.
Oh,
be careful what you ask for.
Okay, you just don't like what we're doing. Okay, go watch another team.
Hey, be
you
careful.
Got no teams.
Be careful what you ask for. Yeah. Be careful. So he threatens. First of all, he goes, "What? What are you going to do?"
Hmm?
That's
what?
His first
what?
Start.
What?
What?
He bowed up.
What? What are you going to do? Hmm? Huh? You going to do something? Feel strong? You going to do some tough guy? What are you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Nothing. You're gonna do nothing. Then at the end he goes, "Be careful what you. Be careful. I can just see a little pink ring. Be careful what you wish for. Be careful because you. We really want to make money. We pick up. We get out of town. You know what I ever said? Who's bringing the Reds in? Who's bringing the Reds in? They're trying to move the A's to Vegas.
Well, Red,
and
the Red,
Vegas isn't even about that right
Las
now.
Las Vegas Reds. The Reds and Blacks.
Vegas doesn't even want to open.
Oh, the Vegas Reds and Blacks.
But I like it, but Vegas isn't even right now. Oakland's having a hard time getting to Vegas because Vegas is now, because they want public money. I was reading about this yesterday. Rob Manfred is demanding you got to get public money for new stadiums. And now, apparently, the head honcho in Las Vegas is worried about getting beat at the ballot booth if he throws another tax on taxpayers. They already put a $2 a night stay tax with the MGM Grand and so.
Oh, you know what though? I mean, all the tourists, everybody that comes through Vegas, they don't even notice
right. But
it.
They're talking about throwing one on the.
That's the best way to do it.
On the residents, they're talking about throwing one on the residents.
That's different.
And he's a little worried because they got to pay for another.
Those
stadium.
Are votes. Those are people that vote for you. So that's different. Now he's not the only owner that's under fire today.
No, he's not.
The Washington Commanders. Holy crap!
It's getting so bad.
It's real. Okay. This is from a letter from the House Oversight and Reform Committee to the Federal Trade Commission. We are writing to share evidence of concerning business practices by the Washington Commanders uncovered during the committee's ongoing investigation into workplace misconduct at the team. Evidence obtained by the committee, including emails, documents, and statements from former employees, indicates senior executives and the team's owner, Daniel Snyder, may have engaged in a troubling, long-running and potentially unlawful pattern of financial conduct that victimized thousands of team fans and the National Football League. Apparently, it claims that the Commanders withheld millions worth of refundable security deposits from season ticket holders for more than a decade and took steps to prevent customers from collecting those deposits.
This is, you're messing with people's
the
money
The letter
now?
Also claims the team maintained two sets of books to underreport certain revenues and avoid sharing profits with other NFL teams. Now, listen,
separate
Daniel Snyder.
Books is an immediate.
You know what?
Separate books sends you to jail.
No, sends you to jail and all immediately kicks you out of the fraternity, of the rich guy fraternity that is the NFL owners.
Yeah, because you
listen,
mess with their brand.
They don't mind you. Oh, the cheerleaders, whatever. Jerry Jones been doing that for years. That's okay. Mess with our books, two sets of books. Now all of a sudden we got a problem. Now we got a problem.
You mess with their bread.
That's the dumbest thing you can do. See, that's
you mess with the fans. Here's what you've messed with so far. The fans, paying fans, when you talked about, because that's baked into there, that you wouldn't give that money back. So you mess with fans. You mess with women in the workplace.
Yeah.
You mess with the owner's money. How are you going to survive that?
No, he can't. He can't. He's not getting through this.
I don't think he is.
No, he's going to fight. He's going to fight. You know Snyder. He's going to fight. But he's not getting through this.
But the only way he's gone is if it comes from the owners. If the owners start telling Goodell, we want this guy.
No. Of course they. Are you kidding? Can you imagine that room with him walking in? Those owners and you got two sets of books. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
Cal's like, what does two sets of books mean?
Cal is just holding. He's just a placeholder for somebody else. I don't know who the other person is, but I would seriously would. I mean, you brought us here. Before we get to TJ, would you be happy with, I mean, I'd obviously be very happy if they sold the team. Just how happy would the city be if they sold the team?
If they sold the team, it would be awesome.
You kind of feel like you have a fresh start where you
and
can,
it's so terrible
you
too,
can really cheer for the team again, right?
Honestly, where Bob McNair was through, you know, up until Dwayne Brown and the inmates and all that stuff, we're the most... One of the most respected, the word class always came out of everybody's mouth about Bob McNair. Everything about him just oozed class. He was such a nice guy. And to be where they are now, where Cal has gotten them to now, it's just so...
They're just a laughing stock. But you don't feel like, you know, I mean, Bill was a laughing stock. Jack is. Casario and Lovey changes that. And David Culley was too. They threw another kindling on the fire. He was never in a position to be that guy.
They put him in a terrible position.
Lovey's a dude. Nick Casario's a dude. You just kind of wish, okay, you know it'd be better to have all these draft picks and not have Cal?
You know what, though? Here's the one thing that I will say about Cal is he's going to stay out of the way.
Yeah, there's no doubt.
Now, the problem is he stood out of the way for when Bill O'Brien was there, and he should have acted, and he didn't. But as long as you've got a strong, good GM and coach – you know what? It's a good thing him staying out of the way.
Well, he stays out of the way unless he's tricked into getting in the way.
Right.
And that's
he's the easily
negative
manipulated.
Too,
he's
easily manipulated.
Yeah. Let's get TJ in here before we hit a break here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. What do you say, TJ?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing, man?
Hey, all right. I just catched the show yesterday. I didn't know if you guys talked about Cam Newton comments with women again. I just wanted to get Johnny G thoughts. Because I know he just say, shut up and go make me a sandwich. That's what Cam Newton said. I just want to get your thoughts on that.
TJ, it's interesting because we've called him the James Harden of the show, a guy who will go stay out until all hours of the night, but still comes to work, still shows up, even if the jumper's broke. He is, who else have you been? You were another one, too.
I don't know.
No, you were another one, and then Cam Newton.
Just a great guy.
You're the Colonel Bob.
Joe Burrow? No, am I Joe Burrow? Okay.
No, you're not Joe Burrow.
I'll be Joe Burrow.
You're Cam. He wants to know specifically your thoughts on Cam's thoughts.
I think that Cam is – my thoughts on Cam where he says, you know, just, you know, you need to know when to be silent and how good are you at cooking. I think that Cam –
And let the man lead. Get out of the way and let the man lead.
Yeah, and let the man lead. Am I not an ally? Did I not play the Alyssa Knockin or whatever her name is?
You did. So what are you saying?
Yeah. Well, I'm saying I'm an ally.
Ally to who?
I'm offended by what Cam said. Okay. I'm offended because
TJ doesn't believe you.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
TJ doesn't. America doesn't believe you.
Okay. I believe in women having leadership roles, power roles, making a lot of money. Let me play golf all day. I believe in this. Okay.
What if they don't help you play golf all day? Do you care as much?
Yeah, I'm not that thrilled with them. Okay.
There you go, TJ. It just took me a second to get that out.
Okay.
Yeah, so if they're not helping you individually. So what it is you like powerful women who make money, which we didn't say anything about making money. You threw that in there.
Well, I think that's part of the whole equation.
Okay, so you like powerful women who don't have to be silent, who don't have to cook, and who the opposite of Cam, as long as it's your wife.
Yeah, as long as I'm...
But you'd prefer she cooks.
Well, she makes a great etouffee. I'm going to tell you that right now.
You going to tell her to stop?
No, I ain't telling her to stop. No.
You going to tell her... Will you ever once in a while tell her something? Will you say, hey, make this etouffee?
Hey, get in there and cook.
Yeah, no. Basically.
No, I don't say that because I'm an ally.
I'm an ally. I heard that. Especially if they help you play golf.
Yeah. That's what I do.
And then you're less of one if they don't personally have an impact on your enjoyment of life? Your less your allyship.
What do I care? What do I care what Cam's woman does? Give a rat's
there
ass.
You go, TJ.
741 ESPN.
He's an ally for himself.
741.
JG is a self ally.
Well, I know I'm an ally. Listen, did I not play the video, the audio of Alyssa knocking the first female coach?
No, I mean, I guess that bought you a lot of.
That's it,
sometimes
I think,
you just you. List. You do that, and you say, okay,
there it is.
This buys me some time. Buys me some time on
at
the radio.
At least give me this morning.
Yeah.
At least give me the 7 o'clock hour.
Give me
hour.
Today. Give me today.
At
give
least
me the
7 o'clock hour, okay? You know what? We haven't talked about this, and it is ridiculous. When we come back, Charles Barkley had some stinging words for the Los Angeles Lakers.
We'll
do it on the other side.
Your Houston Astros are winners. If you're waking up saying, but Johnny G, what about my Astros? Did they win?
Yeah, your Astros won 2-1.
You probably have a smartphone.
It was it was what I like to call the Siri game. We'll talk about it on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Why don't we take a break?
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
97.5.
The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. So before we get the Astros win 2-1, and before we get back into that conversation, let's talk a little bit about this because Frank Vogel was fired yesterday or even the day before, I forget. But we hadn't even mentioned, we hadn't talked about it. Last night on the TNT broadcast or TBS broadcast, whatever it was, Charles Barkley, Charles Shaq, and Ernie were all on the set. And here's what Charles had to say about the Lakers scapegoating Frank Vogel.
Well, Frank Vogel is getting screwed.
He sure is.
He's getting, because whoever put these old-ass geezers together, they deserve the lion's share. They've scapegoated Frank, obviously, and Russ all year. But this team, I told you from day one, I said, the only chance this team got a chance to be in competitive is Anthony Davis. And clearly, he's not doing what he's supposed to do. But to blame Frank and Russ for putting this old-ass team together, I mean, I told you, ain't enough Icy Hot, Ben Gay, Azor Bean Jr., WD-40. My grandmother used to put WD-40 on her knees and ankles to loosen them up. They should try that for them old-ass geezers.
Only team in the league with an average age over 30.
Hey, and they're not over 30. They're not 31 either. They're 36,
over
37.
30 average seven, age.
Over right. 30. Way over 30.
That's amazing. Average age over 30. Well, we knew. You know the easiest prop bet in the biz was, I saw one before the season. I told a buddy of mine in Vegas, I said, load up on that one. It was Lakers over, under number four playoff spot. And I already know that Russell Westbrook, and just objectively speaking, has a negative impact on teams because he has to have the ball too often in his hands. Forget the stats. It has nothing to do with winning. Anthony Davis has a history of injuries, and LeBron was coming off a season where he showed that he was maybe starting to physically break down a little bit. He's getting older. Then you had Carmelo, who... it's just a guy. And you subtracted some energy players from their team last year. I mean, RJ, you're a Laker fan. I don't know how you envision the season. Like, on paper, well, the names could get you excited. But there's a lot of guys right now on that team that are more name than game. And I'll throw in Anthony Davis on that because you're more name than game if you're not there.
Do you feel like he was
taking a shot at LeBron, or obviously Pelinka is the easy target. I felt like he was maybe saying Pelinka and LeBron in that one.
No, I agree completely. I think he was taking a shot at LeBron. I mean, I think at the end of the day, LeBron's the guy that said, get this player, and this player, instead of going the other way where he had a lot of 3-and-D guys and he had a lot of young talent that was willing to listen to him and kind of be groomed by LeBron, if that makes any sense. But they understood their roles. I don't think anybody on this team understood their role, A, and then after you win the bubble championship, the pandemic championship, whatever you want to call it, why you would want to blow up the team and not bring it back. So, yeah, LeBron has his fingerprints on this. He may not want to say that he does, but when you hear a report that, you know, hey, in the 11th hour, LeBron saying, no, I want Russell Westbrook because in my belief he was worried about the team in Brooklyn, yeah, LeBron has to say I'm culpable.
Are you embarrassed that they fired Vogel?
Yeah, because nobody had a problem with him
two years ago.
It wasn't. Nobody had a problem with him 2 years ago. Everybody thought that he was supposed to be just a fill-in. He was going to get fired. Jason Kidd's going to be the coach. That's why we got him here, because Jeannie Buss said, you can't be the coach unless you hire Jason Kidd, because the fix was supposed to be in. He wins the bubble championship or the pandemic championship. I don't know what you guys want to call it, but he wins that, and all of a sudden, you want to put a jersey in the rafters for Vogel. So where did the change come? This isn't his fault.
No, it's not his fault.
But
what would you think of John Wall for Russell Westbrook?
Well, we talked about this the other day.
You want it or no?
I would want to figure out, is there anything better we can get?
No, there's nothing better, because they both make $47 million.
If Charlotte is saying, we're open to taking Russell Westbrook, will you give me Terry Rozier? Will you give me Terry Rozier, Kelly Oubre, and Gordon Hayward, and I'll give you a first-round pick in Russell Westbrook, and I'll fly him to the airport. I'll go down to L.A. from Houston. I'll take a couple days off. I'll go to L.A. I'll drive him to LAX, and then we'll go in whatever layover we have to take in Timbuktu. I don't care. We'll get you down to Charlotte, and let me welcome Terry Rozier, Kelly Oubre, and Gordon Hayward.
The problem you have is that John Wall is not quick anymore. Like, he had flashes, but I think not playing basketball really hurt John Wall last year. The little video they had of him playing pickup game, he looked terrible. Yeah. No, he was okay when he played for the Rockets, but was like last year, he didn't play at all, and he's getting older, and he's had injury issues. Look, John Wall might help you it's the same thing. He's not going to play all the games. You're going to have a team full of guys who just don't play all the games. But if you are the Lakers and you have a chance to move Russ and add somebody who's younger that can add something, and it costs you a first-round pick, you almost have to do it, because you've already bought into a window of opportunity with Anthony Davis. I wonder if Anthony Davis has any regrets. He lives in California, which is going to be, you know, better than New Orleans, so I get that. But I wonder if he regrets how things went down and where he is. I think physically he would have the same issues no matter what. But LeBron is now already hinting about playing with Luka at some point, but then he came out and said, no, not anytime soon. Well, dude, you're 38 years old. Like, what do you really think you're going to be playing when you're 41 years old? I don't think LeBron can get himself out of L.A. at this point. I know that's not true. He can. When is he out? What, contractually, is he out after next year?
I think it's after next year.
He might be able to go somewhere. As a matter of fact, if he wants to win, he has to go somewhere else. Part of it is he stuck this team with what they're dealing with now, and he wants to get out from under what he did. Same way James did. James stuck the Rockets with the way the Rockets were. James and Daryl Morey, you know, ended up sticking the Rockets where they were, and then James like, ooh, yuck, I want out. That's where LeBron is now.
Yeah. No. He's not going to be. No. He destroyed that place, and he's going to leave it in total destruction.
But
it is the Lakers. It won't take him time.
He leaves, he will have had, 5 years with the Lakers? I wonder how Laker fans are going to view him. Because I think Cleveland will always love LeBron, but he's left them twice. I wonder what Cleveland fans think of him. Like, this is the most transient superstar.
What about Miami?
It's the most transient superstar we've ever seen. I think Miami, because I don't buy into Miami as this hardcore basketball fan town, because you have so many transplants who are from there anyway. But where is home for LeBron? I guess it's Cleveland.
I guess.
But he was at his best in Miami.
Yeah, and he won for Cleveland. I mean,
but he won a championship for Cleveland, won for Miami, he won for L.A. It's just a weird dynamic.
If I'm a Laker fan, I'm like, kidding? With Abdul-Jabbar and Magic and Kobe.
That's what I'm saying. I think they'll be off.
You can speak to it better than we can. Is LeBron going to be a beloved Laker in 10 years?
I don't know. I think you'll remember LeBron for winning the pandemic championship. Shut up! Yeah. I don't know. You know, he may be beloved for that, but if you're going to say LeBron was a better Laker than Kobe, I think you have a better chance of escaping L.A. late at night before somebody looks at you and says, "Yeah, I agree, he was a better Laker than Kobe." No one in L.A. would say that.
But it is going to be curious because you have Magic, Kareem, and Shaq. I'll throw Shaq in there, and obviously Kobe. LeBron's not going to hit that same level with those guys, even though he did win a championship. I don't know. I've never seen an all-time great who will have been this transient if he leaves L.A. and goes somewhere else and plays with a fourth team. Can you think of any superstar, like true superstar?
Not star moved player, as much?
A superstar. Cam James Newton is now moving around. Well, Cam's played two teams.
Yeah. I'm just joking.
Oh. I can't think of anybody.
No.
You definitely aren't going to find anyone in the 80s or 90s like that. That just wasn't really a thing. That's more now. Dwayne Wade?
Pete Rose moved around a little bit.
Phillies Reds?
Montreal.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. That's in the early 80s in baseball.
Yeah, but that's...
And he probably owed people money and left.
No, it wasn't because he owed bookies.
You don't know that.
No, I don't know that.
Justin Verlander is a two-team guy.
Yeah.
He's a superstar in baseball.
Scherzer's turn is now picking up a lot of teams now.
Is this three now? Greinke is not an all-time superstar.
He's got four. He's on team four now.
Is this team four?
Yeah, he started with the Diamondbacks.
Washington.
Then last year he was with the now he's with the Mets. Who was he with? He was with last year. He was he won with Washington.
Yeah.
And last year he's with the Dodgers.
Oh yeah, rental.
Yeah.
Yeah, rental. Yeah, I guess. I wouldn't put Scherzer on LeBron's level. I mean, LeBron's on the Jordan level.
Yeah, he's orchestrating it all. Scherzer not so much.
Yeah, and LeBron is part of a generation that does orchestrate more of this. I mean, Magic orchestrated some stuff way, way back in the day. His first head coach.
Well, yeah, he got rid of his coach. He got rid of Paul Westhead.
The weird thing is, Jordan, I really wonder how Jordan would have been remembered. Because if Jordan played in this era, Jordan 100% would have. Although, Jordan seemed to get along with coaches. I thought I recalled him, like, clashing with some of his coaches. But in watching, and I'm in the middle of rewatching because my kids are watching it, Last Dance again. I didn't see Jordan with any real issues with any of his head coaches. It was always Krause. Jordan 100% in today's basketball would have 100% gotten rid of Krause earlier.
Oh, yeah.
He would have 100% gotten rid of Krause. Absolutely. And he would have said it's either me or Jerry Krause, and Krause would have been gone. And you know what? Bulls wouldn't have won as many championships potentially, and LeBron and Jordan might have been viewed differently.
When we come back, a report is verifying something that you told us a while ago about the NFL draft. We will talk about that on the other side right now on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. We are talking about what my man Jeff Aronoff over at Absolute Marble and Granite, and I don't know what kind of business you could have a stadium and Jeff Aronoff can redo your concourse or your concession stands honestly, if you've got a little league – if you want to build a concession stand for a little league, Jeff Aronoff can get that job done for you and make it perfect, everything that you could possibly. I don't know what it is that you need built. I don't know what it is that you need remodeled. But if it's a big job and it's got, you know, it's going to be difficult, and you want somebody that can not only you don't want to hire an architect and a designer and someone to help you pick all the stuff. Jeff Aronoff will do all of that stuff for you, and he will get the work done as well. So if you're looking for a guy that's going to help you get through a difficult time, it's not easy. And, oh, by the way, it's going to take a little bit of time because it's going to be a big job. I'll tell you this, because he couldn't have worked faster at my place. Not only did he fix all my countertops in the kitchen, but he put in an outdoor kitchen for us at the house that both of them were huge in us selling our home. And if you're somebody that hasn't done anything in a while to your home, you have to. Otherwise, you're not going to sell it. 713-880-2822. 713-880-2822. It's Absolute Marble and Granite.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Administration of employee benefits is a hassle. Let HRNP eliminate those burdens and save you money. Visit HRP.net today.